the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer. And the subtitle is actually, Why Pray in Tongues? Why pray in tongues? Praise God. And this, you know, for some is very controversial, but not with God and not with me. Hallelujah. Not with you all as well. Praise the Lord. But, you know, and reason I can say that is because I'll use myself as an example, praise God, was brought up in denominational teachings. And I'm going to say this right now. We love every person in the body of Christ, regardless of what denomination they are. And, you know, and I just tell people, I said, well, you know, they'll find out when they get to heaven. Amen. And I knew that something was missing in my life. I love God. I was saved. I served God. I went to church on a regular basis, but I knew something was missing and I didn't know what it was. So I began to get in the Word of God for myself. And as I got in the Word, and you know, I came to realize that what I was missing and what I was lacking, Almighty God, was the power of Almighty God. Praise God. And because, you know, the things that the Word of God says, it showed what Jesus did and the miracles he performed. And then Jesus said, you know, that we are to do the same works that he did and greater works than these. So I knew that I lacked that. I knew, realized that I lacked the power of God. And then as I, you know, continued to, you know, search the Word, and I came to understand that I did not have all that God had for me. Even though I had the Spirit of God in me, I had never received the Spirit of God upon me, which is the baptism with the Holy Ghost and power. And it had never been taught, so I didn't know anything about it. Amen. As a matter of fact, it was taught against where in the church that I was in, praise God, that it was not for today, it was done away with, and just a whole lot of different things. But I saw in the Word of God that it was not done away with. And that it is for day, today. And certainly if the disciples needed it, and even after Jesus ascended to heaven, we certainly need it today. And then as I'm going to, you know, go through the Word of God, and we're going to see that it has not been done away with. You know, so if you have any prior teachings or, you know, thoughts, you know, I just encourage you just to open up your heart to the Spirit of God. And how many here want all that God has for them? Let me see your hand. I know I do. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know, and maybe you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Well, then it's not enough just to receive it. We've got to use that gift. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look in the Word. And prayer is very, very important to God. Therefore, if it's important to God, it should be important to we who are God's daughters and sons. Amen. Praise God. It's important to God. It's important for many, many reasons. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons, but it's important. You know, we know as we pray that that we have a God that's a living God. Hallelujah. Who is greater than us. Even though God knows, you know, things that we desire and that we pray for certain things. I mean, things that we want. God tells us, you know, we are to ask. We are to petition him. We are to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. And we are to pray in faith, expecting to receive. Praise God. When go through storms, you know, it's a comfort to pray. Amen. Knowing that God is with us. Praise the Lord. And there are many different types of prayer, you know, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise, prayers of petition or supplication, many different types of prayers. But we're going to be looking this morning at why pray in tongues, because that's the type of prayer that the devil fights with a passion. He fights with a passion and he causes confusion, tries to cause confusion within the body of Christ over it. And the reason being is that he knows that when a believer receives this baptism, that the power that Jesus said that we would have to do the greater works is then given to that person. And he doesn't want Christians to have the power that is needed to do what Jesus said we would do. He just does not want that. Not only that, he knows it's a prayer language that he doesn't understand. So when we're praying, there's a scripture was read in Romans 8 this morning, that when we pray, the Holy Ghost prays to us praying the perfect will of the Father. And he knows that we're praying the perfect will, and it's something that he can't even get in on. He can't understand. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to be looking at the Word of God this morning. We're going to see that Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost and with power, and many will argue against that. But the Word of God says so. As a matter of fact, scripture was read even in Acts 10, verse 38, how, you know, God anointed Jesus. Father God anointed him. He was baptized, not only water baptized, but he was baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. So if Jesus received these baptisms, then we certainly need it too. Yes, we need water baptism. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But we know the most important baptism is when we are baptized in the body of Christ and we accept Jesus as our Savior. But we want to look at why pray in tongues. Why tongues this morning? Amen. We're going to look at Jesus first of all. Briefly, because we have a lot to go over, and I encourage you to take notes, praise God, and also look to the Word of God, your Bibles. You're going to need a Bible. Amen. Praise God. After Jesus was water baptized, we know that Jesus was water baptized by John the Baptist, who was his half-cousin, that the Word of God said he came up out the water, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came upon him. Now, that was when he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you quickly to turn to Luke chapter 3, because before then, he, you know, had not been baptized, had not received that power. Some say, well, you know, he was God. Yes, he was. But he also came as God, but he also came as the Son of Man to let us know that we could do the same things that he did. But it was necessary for him to do certain things. It was necessary for us, and it therefore is necessary for us to do certain things. One of which is receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So take a quick look at Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Luke 3, verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, speaking about Jesus. And here we see the Trinity. For those that talk about there's no Trinity, here we see the Trinity. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost present at one time. And the Holy Ghost ascended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, meaning Jesus. And a voice came from heaven, that was Father God, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Now, after this, the Word of God tells us that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he was in fasting and prayer for 40 days and 40 nights. So while you're in Luke, stay there and just quickly look at chapter 4. And when he went in the power. He was full of the Holy Ghost, because now he's been baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right, Luke chapter 4. And Jesus being full, say being full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He now, when was after baptism, was full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." This is lust of the flesh. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So here we see that Jesus is overcoming and becoming victorious over the devil by using the sword of the Spirit, by using his own words, which lets you and I know that if we expect to be victorious, we've got to use the Word of God as well, which is our sword. Amen. Now, there are only three areas the devil comes against us. And you can read this later, because we're not going to take time to read all of them. I'm not teaching on this today. But it's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And those three areas, if you read this chapter, you see that that was the area that Jesus was tempted in. He may dress it up. He may change it in different ways and present it different ways to people in the body of Christ, but it's always the three things he uses: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Amen. And so we don't have to yield to the temptation. Temptations come. Look at verse 14. We're still in Luke chapter 4. This is a teaching this morning. Verse 14. And Jesus returned. What did he do? In what? In the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So we see that he goes into the wilderness in the power, and he comes out in power because he's been baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. And then he goes into the synagogue and he makes a statement. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he's been baptized. All right, let's look at verse. And I bind every religious spirit and every wrong false teaching right now, and I cast it to the ground. I say the blood of Jesus is against it. And I thank you, Lord. Our people have ears to hear what you have to say. And church says, amen. Verse 18. Everybody there, we're in chapter 4 of Luke, verse 18. Let's read it together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. That's all part of total salvation. Amen. So Jesus is, you know, he's standing up, saying a prophecy that had already been prophesied about him in the Old Testament. He said, now this thing, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your ears. I'm here. I'm the one that God has put the Spirit upon. And he's anointed me to do these works. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for, and speaking in other tongues, to anoint us to do the works Jesus said we would do. That's why he told his disciples, you know, don't even leave Jerusalem until you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. Not that they weren't saved, but they didn't have the power to do the works that he wanted them to do. Amen. Praise God. So if Jesus needed power, his disciples and apostles needed power, what makes God's people think they don't need that same power today? I don't know. Except the devil blinds, tries to blind many in the body of Christ's eyes, not to see the truth of God's word. But I'm so glad that here you have eyes to hear and to see what God's word says. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Jesus told his disciples to wait for the promise. Now, we've looked at this before. We're going to look at it quickly again. But after Jesus' resurrection, he breathed on them. You know, he was in his glorified body. And in both instances, it says the door was closed. I mean, God doesn't just put things in his word to put it there. He just wants us to know that the door is shut. He didn't have to open the door because he was in his glorified body. You know, he could just walk through the wall or walk through the door. So he appeared in their midst with the door shut. And there he breathed on them. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they received the Holy Spirit inside of them, which is what happens to a born again believer when we accept Jesus as our Savior. We accept and the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in us, not upon us. They're two different experiences. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Quickly turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John 20. And let's look at verse 21. We're in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace. That word peace means salvation. It means healing, deliverance, victory, prosperity. It means so much. It means it's pretty much the same, peace and salvation. He said to them again, verse 21, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. How many know Jesus has sent you all today? Amen. It wasn't just for them. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. What did he do? Breathe on them and said unto them, what? receive ye the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit came inside of them. Amen. Now, he also tells them in the word of God to wait, tarry in Jerusalem. Now, they've got the power, the Spirit of God in them, but he's saying there's more you need. You still don't have enough. He says, wait for the promise that I promised to you that the Holy Ghost will come upon, not in, but upon you over and over. And we're going to look at different instances this morning after Jesus has gone back to heaven. We're going to see that the Holy Ghost, I want you to not read, but I want you to listen because you can read later on. We're going to see that receiving the Holy Ghost, sometimes people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost after they were water baptized. And then they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And then we're going to see that some receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost before they receive water baptism. So the order does not matter. And we're going to see it in the Word of God both ways. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You're going to see that there are going to be instances where some people, but all must be saved. You can't receive either without being, without being saved. There are people that get water baptized that are not saved. That does not save them. So that, you got to be saved first. You got to have God inside of you. But in terms of the order of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you can receive that before being water baptized. So people argue about that. Well, you got to have water baptism. No, it's not so. I'm going to show you in the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many love the word? Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts 2. Keeping in mind that they have already received the Spirit of God inside of them. So they're saved. Say they're saved. Amen. And now, you're going to see that they're going to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. Praise God. Amen. Let's look at chapter 1 of Acts. Everybody there? Acts 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus telling them, don't depart. We're in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. So they, have water baptism. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. Look at verse 8. But ye shall, and when this happens, Jesus is talking, he said, but ye shall receive power. What will you receive after the Holy Ghost baptism? Power. After that the Holy Ghost is come, where? Upon you. Where did it come with Jesus? Upon him. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So he's preparing them because something's going to be happening after he goes back to heaven. He's letting them know, you're not going to just stay here in Jerusalem. You're going to go throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus knew this. But he says, before you go, you need power to do the works that I said that you were going to do. I want, everyone to remember, every single person that is saved is anointed. Every believer that's born again is anointed because they've got God inside of them. But every believer does not have the same power. The anointing may be defined as the power to accomplish a specific task or task. I'm going to say it again. The anointing may be described as the power to accomplish a specific task or task. That's my definition. Real simple. Amen? It's the power of God. And I'm going to give you some examples. So every believer is anointed because they've got God in them to a degree. But there are different levels of the anointing. And when you receive Holy Ghost baptism, then that anointing of God comes on you. That enablement of God comes on the believer to move in the supernatural and to do, tremendous works. Do the things Jesus said that we are to do. Now, I'm going to use the example of a singer because I've been hearing different people singing and so forth, and sometimes Christians. And I'm going to use some other examples too. I can sit and go somewhere and I can listen to a person, talking about a person that's saved, singing, and the anointing on one person may not even be there if they're, say, shagging up with somebody or if they're doing drugs. Not that they're not saved, but because they're not living a holy life. Because the anointing can be affected in a lot of different ways. And I can listen to a different person saying that exact same Christian song, gospel song, and the anointing will just be so high. Because that person, is living the life that they're supposed to be living. They're living a clean life. I can listen to somebody singing, and that person has not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's not, and they can be living a clean life, and it may be anointed, and I can listen to somebody has the baptism of the Holy Ghost and prayer life and living right, and that anointing is just far greater because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one and not the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the other. There is a difference. So because the anointing is the enablement to help us to do specific things. Another example. Somebody that has been anointed in the area of cooking. Now, one person, you can have two people. Both of them can cook. Both of them can cook for a lot of people. But the one that has been anointed and has the baptism of the Holy Ghost and has a living that life can do it with greater ease and do it better than the one that hasn't received that additional power. Did everybody follow what I'm saying? Amen. The same thing with preaching. The same thing with somebody with finances. We're not all anointed to do everything. But we are anointed to do certain things. Specific things. Somebody with finances may be anointed, has a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, and they can just flow in them finances and get the stuff done. Somebody else may not. Not that they can't do it and they do it well, but the anointing helps you to have greater ease and to do it better. Amen. The same thing with an audio technician. Somebody who's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spend that time with God. God's going to give that person, ideas and inventions and things, how things to flow. And use that gift and they'll do it with ease. Where somebody else that hasn't, it just isn't going to flow as well. They'll be able to do it. So you can name it, whether it's ushering or, nursery. Somebody that's anointed. you may love your own children. But if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and God has anointed you in that area, you can have 100 little screaming kids. And you just as happy, just as content with those kids, just flowing with those children, and somebody else feel like they could tear their hair out. You all follow what I'm saying about the anointing? Amen. So I'm saying, God anointed all of us in certain areas. And the anointing can be increased when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with power. And even if we receive it, then we still got to live a clean, consistent life. Because that can clog up the flow. Just like if you had a sink. That sink could be clean, and then you put a whole lot of junk and garbage down there. You might get a little bit of water down, but all the water isn't going to go because it's not clean. Amen? Follow what I'm saying? So the same thing is true with God's people. Just because somebody's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues doesn't mean that that anointing is going to flow because they're not living the life. Amen? Praise God. So, Jesus is saying, we need this power. And even after we've received it, we still got to, walk uprightly and do the things that he has called each one of us to do. Can't lie, can't steal, can't do those things. Those things clog up a believer. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see here that the Lord, let's look at verse 8 one more time. We're still in Acts. We're going to be there for a while, so I want you to stay in Acts. But Jesus said, this is Jesus has come back in his resurrected body. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. And before he goes back to heaven, he tells them, get ready, wait for the power. Only the obedient ones received. The disobedient ones didn't even receive because they weren't where they were supposed to be. But ye shall receive power, verse 8, Jesus said, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. He knows that they need the power. He knows we need the power today as never before because of the time period that we're in. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, when he tells believers, well, that was done away with, that's nothing. It's just the devil lying because he doesn't want the body to have this power. He doesn't want the body to be in unity. But he's a liar and the father of lies. And I'm so glad that he is crossing denominations now. And many denominations are receiving this baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad about that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next we're going to see, now Jesus told them, you know, when you go, you need this, you're going to go to these different places. Okay. Everybody knows about Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, right? Well, there was a great persecution that came upon the church, and Saul was one of the major ones that were persecuting the church. He was hauling up Christian men and women, taking them to prison. Stephen was, you know, he was killed. He was stoned to death. He was martyred. And Paul was holding a coat. But I'm just saying the mercy of God. Say the mercy of God. Mercy of God. Amen. Because, I mean, he got it right, and he used him mightily. Amen. When he repented and got it right. But so because of the persecution, the disciples were dispersed and they went, you know, all to different parts of the country, the world. And we see that Philip, who was an evangelist, he went to Samaria. And when he went to Samaria, God used him mightily in casting out devils and healing the sick. And remember, he's already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues himself. And all these things were happening, but the people didn't have the baptism with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Even all these things were happening, they were receiving. There was even a sorcerer that was, you know, that believed. This was a man that had bewitched the people, doing witchcraft and stuff, but he even believed. And so what happened when the apostles heard about these great miracles and healings and deliverances taking place, they sent John, and they sent Peter to Samaria. Why? So that they could receive the baptism. Say the baptism. Baptist. With the Holy Ghost. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, I'm telling you what the Bible says. I mean, you cannot say it if you don't want to, but I'm telling you what the Word says. It's in the Word. That's what Jesus says. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So they go, and we're going to see that it's not always given the same way. Sometimes the person might lay hands on the individual. Sometimes they don't. And I'm going to show you in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Praise God. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts 8. Now, this is after Jesus has already gone back to heaven. Amen. When you found it, can you say amen? And remember, the disciples are being scattered throughout the world, and here they've gone. Philip's gone to Samaria. Amen. I'm just starting verse 1. Acts 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death at the time there was a great persecution among the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. And Saul made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Now let's look at, this is what we want to focus on. Verse 4 from here. We're in Acts chapter 8. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What were they doing? Preaching the word. Didn't Jesus say that they were going to be going throughout the world? Samaria, Judea, uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So these people are going to get born again. And I'm not going to take time to read all of this, but I encourage you to read it later. And the people, in verse 6, with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taking with palsy, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. So here we see Philip going forth doing the greater works because he's received the power. Amen. And he's living the life. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What type of baptism do you think this was? Water. Absolutely. This was water baptism. But they're still missing something very important. What were they missing? Baptism with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. They're saved first, then they get water baptized here, and now they need to receive the baptism with the Holy Ghost and power. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard the Samaritans that received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. What do they want them to receive? Amen. Verse 16. For as yet he was fallen. He was what? Falling upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Only water baptized. That's all they had received. They were saved and water baptized. Verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them. And they received the Holy Ghost. Who did they receive? Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to take time. I want to encourage you to read, but later on we see what Simon did and tried to buy this gift and so forth and so on. But you can read that later. Amen. What was the cursed thing to do? Now we're going to look at someone else that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he, not only him, but those that were with him. And they're going to receive in a different way and speak in tongues. Amen. So here we see the disciples laying hands on these people, and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Now, you can, okay, stop reading because you can read when you get home. Next, we're going to look at a man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was an Italian centurion. And here, the word of God says that he was a man that loved God. He was a devout man of prayer. He lets us know he had a relationship with God. He was saved. He loved God. And he even gave alms. And his alms, you know, what he did had gone up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. And God sent an angel to him. And he was crying out to God, probably like myself, maybe. I don't know. You know, because I knew there was more. I just knew something was missing. And I won't give you my story, but we'll look at Cornelius' story. So the angel came to him and told him, he said, well, I want you to send for Peter, and he'll tell you what you need to do. He's doing, you know, he's living a godly life. He's saved, you know, he's giving alms to the poor. He's a regular, doing a prayer warrior, doing all these things, but he knows something is lacking. He doesn't have power. And the angel tells him to send for Peter. Now he knew that Peter, well, about this time, Peter is on the rooftop of his house and he has a vision or goes into a trance, and these animals come down out the sky. He's seeing all of this in this cloth and a couple of times, and he says, you know, he's thinking about the meaning, and you know, these were unclean animals. and was a vision showing him that the Gentiles or the non-Jews, you know, that they were not to be considered unclean. Because the Jews, for the most part, didn't have anything to do with anybody except their people. And God wanted them to know, you know, that this isn't just for you, it's for whoever will receive. Amen? And in about this time, the men that Cornelius sends to Peter's house knock on the door, and God says, let them in. I'm paraphrasing. Welcome them. You know, I've sent them. And they come and tell him, say, well, you know, Cornelius, our master, wants you to come back with us. So because God had given him this vision and he was obedient and he went back with them to Cornelius. And then when he gets to Cornelius's house, we're going to see what happens. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. And remember, the other people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. We're going to see how God works in this instance. Praise God. Everybody there? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at verse 1. We're not going to read it all. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. How much often did he pray? Always. Amen. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And he looked on him. He was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he goes on and tells him where he is and so forth and so on. Verse 6, he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou ought to do. What are you going to do? Tell him what he ought to do. So he's praying. He's obviously asking God for something or about something. Amen. He needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the power and the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. And then what happens is Peter indeed does come back. Amen. And he begins to preach. Let's look at verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. We're in Acts 10. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So as he come, I said, God's awesome. Not only is Cornelius there, I mean, it's a bunch of other people there. Amen. And then Peter begins to preach and to teach about Jesus. And look at verse 38. This is one of the scriptures this morning that was read. He talks about how even Jesus had to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. With what? He had to have power too. Amen. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So this is part, you can read the rest of, this is part of the message that he's giving to Cornelius and the other people that were there. And look at verse 44. I want everybody to look at this. We're going to read it together. Everybody there? Acts 10, verse 44. Read. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. What did he do? Holy Ghost fell, came upon them, not in them. But where? On them. Amen. Verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Talking about the Jews. They were astonished. You know, here, all these are Gentiles. Look what's happening. They're getting the same thing we've been getting. The same baptism. And they that of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter. Because that on the Gentiles who? Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak. What did they hear? What did they speak with? Heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Can they forbid what? So they haven't received water baptism, have they? Nope. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They prayed. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Okay, you can stop reading. So here we see God moving in a different way. Before we saw with Philip and the Samaritans, how there the apostles were sent for, and the apostles prayed for the people and laid hands on them. And they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Here we see that these, and they were already water baptized. Here we see these, you know, they had not received water baptism. Amen. But they were saved. They received the preached word of Peter. So they had accepted the Lord as their Savior. That's the one criteria. A person must be born again, must be truly saved. And then they're eligible for water baptism, and they're eligible for baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And it does not matter about the order. Everybody see that in the word? Because people will argue with you about that. But we don't argue. Amen? We go to the word. Amen. Hallelujah. So here, God just sovereignly does it. Holy Ghost just comes upon them. Nobody lays hands on them. But you can. But it can be. But doesn't have to be. Amen? And they speak with tongues. Now, keep in mind, this is after Jesus. This is years after Jesus has gone, you know, back to heaven. He's not on the earth anymore. And even, you know, later on, when Paul begins his ministry, and actually there's a group of people, the same thing happens. They had not even heard about any Holy Ghost baptism. This is years after Jesus has gone back to heaven. You know, so if you read the word, you see nowhere did the Lord stop baptizing his people with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence and speaking in other tongues. Nowhere. Amen. If you read Corinthians, the love chapter 13, it says, you know, that one day tongues will be done away with. But it hasn't been done away with yet. When we get to heaven, we won't need tongues. Amen? So people fight about, well, it's not for the day. It's a lie. It's a trick of the devil. Because nowhere has Jesus said it's for, you know, us to do the greater works. He knew we were going to need the power. He knew we were going to need a prayer language that the devil could not understand. Now, for those that have questions about, well, how can you sing in the spirit? I thought it's supposed to be interpreted. How can you pray in tongues? I'm supposed to have an interpreter. Okay, we're going to talk about that. Amen? I believe it's showing you in the word. Turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Amen? How many love the word? Amen. Praise the Lord. Like being in Bible college, isn't it? Praise God. 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at 14. I'm not going to, you know, teach on all of this, but I'm going to give you enough. Say, thank you, Lord, for just enough. And even more. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm just going to use myself as an example. Sometimes the Lord will give me a word. And a word of prophecy. And I'll come forth, and sometimes it's in English. So if it's in English, you don't need interpretation, right? Because everybody can understand it. Sometimes it's not in English, it's in another language. And if there is, it's in another language, somebody better have the interpretation. Either me or somebody else. And sometimes he gives it to somebody, some of you all, and some of you sit on it. And sometimes God will tell me who has it. And I'm getting to the point, you know, I may just call you out. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he will always give me the interpretation, because he's not going to give a word without the interpretation. And not only that, sometimes he's giving you all prophecies and you sit on it because, you know, you allow fear to get on one. This is me or it's the devil. It's me or shut up, devil. Not calling you all a devil, but the devil doesn't want you to come forth. He, you know, he lies. No. You come forth. Amen. Just trust in God. But at any rate, so yes, there must be someone to interpret if a word of prophecy comes forth. Now, there is also tongues that is for a prayer language. When we pray to God, there is never, there's no need for an interpreter. If you're, because God knows, He understands. And we're going to look at, read the word in just a minute. And the devil doesn't understand, but God does. You're always understand your heavenly prayer language and any other language. He created it. That's why the word of God says, and we're going to look at that again, you know, Romans 8, that when we pray, the Holy Ghost prays for us, that He prays the perfect will of the Father. He doesn't make any mistakes. When we pray in tongues, we don't have to worry because we, you know, the Holy Ghost is praying through us. We got to yield our vocal cords. We got to yield our tongue to allow, you know, that prayer language to come forth. All right. Now, everybody in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay. Let's look at the word here. Amen. I'm going to start at verse 1. This is Paul speaking. Follow after charity. He's just finished talking about love and how, you know, all different things are going to be done away with. And one day tongues, one day when that which is perfect has come, you know, we haven't gotten our glorified bodies. We're not in heaven. And well, I'm not going to teach on it. But at any rate. Okay. Verse 14, follow after charity. And what is charity? Love. And desire spiritual gifts. So God wants us to desire spiritual gifts. But rather that ye may prophesy. God wants His people to prophesy. For he that speaking in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Who are we speaking to when speaking in an unknown tongue? To God. Amen. For no man understand him. Howbeit, the Spirit, He speaketh mysteries. So when we're praying in an unknown tongue, we're praying to God. The devil doesn't even know. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Verse 3. But he that prophesieth, he that what? Speaketh unto men. So when we're prophesying, you know, we're prophesying unto men. Amen. To edification. This is what it's for. Prophecy is for edification and exhortation and comfort. Let's say it together. Edification and exhortation and comfort. Amen. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Okay, so when you start, you know, when you're speaking unknown tongue, you're building your, we're going to see this up, we're going to read this in Jude in just a few minutes. You're being edified, you're being built up, the power is increasing in you, increasing in me. When we are praying in the spirit, but when we prophesy, then the body is built up. Aren't you built up on the word of prophecy comes for and encourages you and comforts you? Or maybe the Lord's already said something to you and said, oh, that's just what the Lord told me. Amen. That's what it's for. Amen. That's what prophecy is for. Amen. Verse 5, I would rather that ye all spake with tongues. What does Paul say? I would rather that ye all spake with tongues. So he wants us, God wants us to speak in tongues. Amen? But rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edification. So Paul's saying, you know, that he wants all of us to be able, you know, to speak in tongues, but he would rather that we prophesy. Why? Because when we prophesy, then, you know, the whole church is being blessed, not just us. Now, he's not saying don't pray in tongues. He's not saying don't pray in our heavenly language, but he's saying prophesy too. He's saying actually it's better because you're going to be blessing not only yourself, but the church, but we should do both. Amen. I don't want to read all of it, but let me see. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. In other words, you know, if I come speaking in tongues, if I just come in here, stood up here all morning, just speaking in tongues to you, just speaking in tongues, is that going to help anybody? No, because you're not going to know what I'm saying. Unless God gives you the gift interpretation. Now, then you'll have to be interpreting a long time. Amen. Because y'all know I preach over 30 minutes. Over 45 most times. Amen. So whoever's going to interpret, boy, you better really be taking some notes or be yielded to God, because he can give it to you without taking notes. Amen. Everybody following what Paul's saying here by the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God. Verse 6 again. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipes or harps, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? He relates that to the natural things. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And how do you edify the church? By what? Prophesying. Amen. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So if you're speaking in an unknown tongue, in the church, then you need to have interpretation. You know, and there's nothing wrong with praying with that. Even if you're at home or in your car, praying in tongues, you can ask God, Lord, give me interpretation. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And really, prayer is a two-way thing, or it should be, where you are talking to God and then allow time for God to speak back to us. Amen. Sometimes, many times, we just talk, and then don't listen to hear what God has to say. Amen. This would be a two-way. And we don't just have to do it in the morning, in the bedtime, but it's something we should really be doing ongoing throughout the day. Just taking time, just talk to God and just listen to him. Amen. It's not always just about asking him for things, thanking him, praising him. Oh, Lord, you're just so great. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. I just praise you. I'm able to walk. Lord, I just thank you for this job. I just thank you, Lord, that I had something to eat this morning. Just thank him. God, you just talk to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 12. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That's prophesying. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Who's praying? The Holy Ghost is praying. Our spirit, Holy Ghost and our spirit is praying that praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15. What is it then? This is what Paul says. I want us to read this together. Everybody in verse 15. Let's read. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Paul says, I choose to. I will to do this. Just like I choose to say what we call the Lord's Prayer. I choose to, or I choose not to. Amen. Praise God. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. And somebody says, well, I can't control them. Yes, you can. When you shut up, then the Holy Spirit won't say anything. He's a gentleman. He's just going to, make you open your mouth and just you have no control. Amen. Praise God. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also, Paul says. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with understanding also. So when we sing here, we sing in the spirit, or everybody should be. Even the song that we listen to, by the bishop, at the end of one of his songs, whoever it is just singing in the spirit. That's tongues. Amen. We do the same thing. Amen. We're singing to God. When you move from praise into worship. And when you go into worship, you're not worshiping anybody here. We're worshiping God. So when we're praying and singing in the spirit, we're talking to God. Amen. And I mean, many times, even for myself, even when I sing in the spirit to God, then I come, you know, through the Holy Spirit, come back and just say in English what I've been saying in tongues. And I'm sure you do too. Amen. We will to do it. Or not. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I mean, you know, this may be hard for some because you've been taught differently, but you know, we have to get to a place where we're willing to change and go with what God's word says, period. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want God to take us higher. Amen. Verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall it be occupied the room of the unlearned? Amen. Well, I'm not going to go. You can read that later. But because I have some other things I want to. But what I want to say is, you know, God has so much for we who are his people. But we've got to let religious tradition and doctrine and what, you know, Grandma Maymay or Papa Pepe, whatever has said or what they did, not stop us from moving forward with God. You know, thank God for where they were or where they are. But God wants us to move on with him. Amen. Hallelujah. And just because, you know, they don't like or whoever doesn't like what you are doing, if it lines up with God's word, they didn't like what the apostles and the disciples and God's people back then were doing. But it didn't stop them. They went on and chose to do what Jesus said do and receive what Jesus said receive. So, yes, sometimes there's a sacrifice. Most times it is. Praise God. But it's better to do it God's way. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to the book of Jude quickly. Jude is the last book before the book of Revelation. It's only one chapter. But it's very, very important, church, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, praise God, because we all need that additional power, need to be able to pray to God in a language that the enemy does not understand, and we need to be able to minister to him in song. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Okay, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I encourage you to read a little bit later, but Jude is believed to be the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And here he's talking about, you know, praying in the spirit. Don't read it now. I just want you to listen. Praise God. We're going to look at it in just a minute. Remember that I said that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and when we pray in the spirit, it does what? It builds us up. Amen. It builds us up. So just because you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you spoke in tongues, if you stop speaking in tongues, then you're not building yourself up. You're not. You may have received. Doesn't mean you haven't received. It just means that you're not obedient to use the prayer language. Amen. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the gift from God. He is a gift. In my Bible, hold your place there and turn to Romans chapter 8 real quick. Romans 8, we get ready to close out. He said, thank God for the word. Amen. Everybody there? Amen. Amen. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Let's read it together. And verse 26 and 27. Let's read. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'm going to stop right there. So, and in my Bible, whenever it talks about the Holy Spirit, it says it, I put him. Because the Holy Ghost is not an it. He is a person. Him. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just crossed it. I put him or himself. Amen. Praise God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. He helpeth our weaknesses. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. You know, there was one time that I used to pray in the Spirit 3 hours a day. And I'm just going to tell you, when you spend that much time in prayer, you come to a place where God's voice is just so clear. You know things before they happen. I'm just telling you a fact. And I'll just give you an example. The Lord had told me one time, this is when I was going to Bible college, and I had, you know, this was a thing that I did every day, just prayed in the Spirit 3 hours a day. I was able to do that because of my schedule then. And he told me exactly what the minister, you know, during the ordination, and matter of fact, they didn't let you know if you were even going to be chosen. And there was a large class, and there were only seven of us that were chosen. So he already let me know that I was going to be one to be picked to be ordained. And he even told me what was going to be spoken over me. And I'm just saying, and it was, but I'm just saying, you know, spending that time with God in a way that close, you come to the place where, you know, he just reveals his mysteries and his secrets to you. Amen. But it also builds you up. It prepares you for things that will happen. And many times, you know, God will be able to, you know, head off things, save people's lives because you have spent time with God. Amen. It should be amen with everybody. Amen. Amen. You know, at this point, and I have an hour in praying in the Spirit and at least a half an hour in understanding. Now, that's not the only time I pray throughout the day, you know, but I'm talking about it one time. So that's an hour. And I'm planning on increasing, you know, with the help of God, because I have a lot to do, that praying in the Spirit time. But in addition to it, I still pray in tongues, you know, in the car. My husband will tell you, I can be asleep. Because usually when he drives, I fall asleep. If he throws on his brake, I come out of a sound sleep. Doing what, Pastor Lewis? Praying how? No, I don't say that. Tell him how I'm praying. In tongues. In tongues. Amen. All the time. So I'm saying, you know, you just get to that place where it's just automatic. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I encourage you, you know, to spend time in praying in the Spirit. Amen. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weakness. We know not what we should pray for as we are. In our understanding, we can only pray with the natural mind or what we think we should be praying. Amen. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And sometimes there's a level where you're just groaning. I mean, you're just coming out deep within. And they're groans, literally groans. Particularly if you're praying, you know, for the lost and the unsaved. And that's true. I remember, and most of you all know who she is, when her husband passed. I don't think I'd ever met her husband, but because I love this woman, and she was up in age then, and her husband, it just did something to me because I, you know, I hurt for her, and it was just such heavy, long groanings. And after that, God gave me the poem, Life's Short Journey, which I gave to her. And was read at his service. So, you know, it's not that you're praying about yourself or for yourself. Many times you're praying the perfect will of the Father. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And he, verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Amen. According to the will of God. So this allows the Holy Ghost to, you know, make intercession for us as well as those in the body. I mean, you know, with Matthew, I mean, not only Matthew, Christopher and Lynn too. Praise God. You know, times I've been praying in the Spirit and God has, he's shown me things. He's warned me. Let me stuff get going on and happening by praying in the Spirit. Amen. Praise, and he, you know, he's no respecter person, but he is a respecter of our obedience. Amen. Praise God. And not only that, you all too. Amen. Amen. He'll give you a word. He'll tell you, you know. But it builds us up. It builds us up. Quickly turn to Jude as we close out. Jude. Chapter 1. Let's look at verse 20. Jude is the last book of the Bible, just before the book of Revelation. But ye, beloved, building up, what does it do? As we pray in the Holy Ghost. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's read that together. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's praying in tongues. That's what it is. Keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, but God wants us to stay in love, to walk in love, to walk in obedience. Amen. Amen. So, you know, the word of God lets us know it's important to build ourselves up. Makes us strong. Makes us know, you know, things of the tactics of the enemy, not only for ourselves, but for others. Amen. Hallelujah. So I encourage each one, you know, to take a reassessment even this day of where you are in your prayer life, your walk with God. And to just make a commitment. Lord, I want a closer walk with you. Lord, I come to understand, you know, the importance of prayer and especially praying in tongues, and that it is for today and it's for me. Amen. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And we rejoice in you, for you are the God of our salvation. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. You are very, very soon coming King, our Master, our friend, the lover of our soul, our great I Am. And Lord, we ask you just to help us to decrease and your Holy Spirit to increase, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over the ears and the body, the spirit, soul of each one that is assembled here. And whoever will hear this message, Lord, I say it will not fall to the ground, but it will bring forth much good fruit. And I thank you for a clear understanding, Father God, of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues for the members of this house, that all will yield to you, Lord, to receive and to do your word. In Jesus' name, can the church say amen? Amen. God bless you. I ask you to please stand to your feet. Praise God.